So hello and welcome. You are joining me today on The Erica Glessing Show, where you receive 8 minutes of daily inspiration for entrepreneurs and lightworkers. And I have some very interesting guests coming today, because not only is my main guest coming, but wherever she goes, there's a flock of dragons that come along. So I'm very curious which dragons are going to come and give us some messages today. My guest, Susan Smith James, is an author of a fabulous new book, Dancing Dragon Magic. And if you've never really had intimate conversations with dragons, you're going to love this book. And if you do have intimate conversations with dragons, I think you might love it even more. So welcome, Susan. How are you?
Hi, I'm very well, thank you. And so, I don't know what dragons are going to show up either.
Hey, when did you start doing pottery? How did you find your hands in clay? How did that actually get going? Do you remember?
The first time I was exposed to clay was in high school. And then I eventually became an art major in college and concentrated in ceramics. I was a professional potter for, 25 years, something like that. And then I've been doing other things and decided to get back into working in clay. I started out making dragon pots, and they're I haven't stopped yet.
Wow. So it's kind of a returning to you.
Yeah.
When you started putting your hands back in the clay, it was like, oh, I get this.
Yes.
Nothing
satisfies me more than touching clay and making pots. That's the best.
How did you create that space? I'm fortunate, you guys, because I've known Susan for a while. So I had a very easy time preparing for this interview. So tell me a little bit about the room that you created and what that was like to create space in your sort of wintry East Coast farm.
Well, let's see. I have to go back to when we bought a ruin of a farm. Most of the buildings here have either fallen apart or continue to fall apart. And when we bought the place, there was a garage, a two-car garage in the center of the driveway with half a roof. Only half.
Really, really helpful in the snowy winter.
Right. It was definitely not good. So my husband fixed the roof, and I said, well, can I have this building? I really want a studio. And it sat there still for more years, like with a roof. So at least it was covered, but it wasn't at all nice inside. It was a garage. And I talked my husband into fixing it up into a studio. And that's where I work. It's very nice. I have nice windows, south-facing windows, and a nice display area, and never enough room for all my stuff, but
enough room. George Carlin has the best set of comedy on finding room for all our stuff, and then we get more stuff, so we have to get more room. Yes. And then we get more stuff. But tell me a little bit, when your hands are in the clay, tell me how the dragons came about. How did the dragons start jumping into your art? You know, how did they just start kind of like being present like that?
I hadn't made pots for years. I was busy with the farm and the kids and all that. And then I could just sense dragons sort of tapping me on the shoulder very insistently saying, we want you to make pots, you know, make a dragon pot. First, I just thought it would be one dragon pot, but it was not ending. Once I started making the dragon pots, there was 100 more ideas. And I don't know if I'll ever run out of ideas, especially not for dragons.
So tell me one of the first dragon pots, because they're all now clamoring to be talked about. And since it's an 8-minute show, that's going to be super challenging. So why don't you just kind of describe to us like one dragon pot and what that was like and the colors, and just give us a little visual candy there.
I think the first one I made was the sun dragon. And I've made all the dragons have different versions of themselves in different pots, and they all look very different. They don't always come out the same. But the first one was a a sun dragon with a, I eventually gold leafed the sun that it's flying around, and the inside of the pot is gold leafed. So he became very luxurious and interesting. But he's at first seems sort of like a Chinese dragon, an Oriental dragon. He doesn't necessarily have wings. He just flies.
So now you have this pot, and it's like this gold leafed, and it's really beautiful. How did you start writing the book, and how did this, I mean, tell us a little bit about the sun dragon and the sun dragon's piece and character. Kind of tell us a little bit about that personality.
I was thinking about the sun dragon the other day. He's one of the first dragons, this planet of dragons, which is similar to Earth, but maybe an alternate universe. He always describes himself as starting when the dark and the light separated before the planet was even created. Mm-hmm. So there was the sun dragon and his brother, the night dragon, where they sort of split apart, kind of a yin and yang thing. They split into two and sort of watched the planet form and have been kind of the head dragons on this planet since it started. And nice. The sun dragon, although they're not organized in a manner of like, you know, there's a ruler or a dragon would never have a ruler. But the sun dragon looks at himself sort of as the host of the party. You know, he just wants to go around and make sure everybody's having a good time.
So I'm getting this little nudge from a dragon now that we're having this conversation. And I believe the mer dragon would really like to have a little chat with us. So tell us a little bit about a mer dragon and what that's like.
How that happened? How is
I don't think the listeners have ever heard of a mermaid dragon possibly. So
no.
First just kind of do like, what is it? And then maybe what it would like to share with us.
Okay. Well, her name is Ichthyana.
Oh, right.
And she is the product of the ocean dragon and a mermaid princess, the daughter of the mer king. Which aren't really in this, they aren't really in the story, but that's how she came into existence. The two of them, there was a war between the ocean dragon and this population of mermaids, and the outcome of the war was there was a peace treaty. The ocean dragon agreed to marry a mermaid, and they created Ichthyana. Ichthyana is basically the peace treaty. She has referred to herself, or she is referred to as peace incarnate. So part of her past, there's nothing like her anywhere on this planet or ever has been before. She's sort of unique to the entire universe, I guess. And she has certain powers, like just her very presence makes things peaceful. Like nobody can have an argument in front of Ichthyana. It just won't work.
No wonder I wanted her energy.
Yes.
That's so amazing.
So that's one of her gifts. There's a lot more to her, but she's going to...
I know she's interested in her own book. I know. After Dancing Dragon Magic, and after we all start getting addicted to all these stories that Susan James Smith wrote for all of you, there will be more stories because... apparently they wake you up pretty often with their stories. Tell us a little bit about what that's like to be woken up by dragons.
Well, yeah, right, anyway, because this is a farm, but they like to get me up before dawn, whenever that is. And I sit and meditate for a while and the stories just come in. If I just think of any of the dragons, they're very willing to tell me any kind of story about themselves or... There's just too much of it to even write down. So.
Wow, that's so fun.
Never without entertainment, anyway.
So what I love about this book is it actually has the actual pot. So you can go to, tell us the website and how people can get the book and find out more about your dragon stories.
Okay, well, the book is on Amazon. And there's also my website, www.dancingdragonmagics.com, And there I have lots of very pretty pictures of the pots. The book has kind of close-ups of the pots. You don't get to see all of them in there.
Yeah, exactly. And just as a caveat, everybody, Happy Publishing published the book. So I am just joyful to be part of not only this interview with Susan James Smith, who wrote Dancing Dragon Magic, but I also get to be the publisher of the book. And the dragons have been just entirely entertaining throughout this entire process. It's been really fun. I've never been co-published by dragons.
and they're waiting to take off and fly. They've just been, you know.
They'll be flying. This is the launch day, love.
This is yes, I know that's it.
Today's the launch day.
They're very excited about launching.
And yeah, this is it. Today's the day.
Yes, they understand taking off in flight. So awesome. Look at the world. Here they are.
Well, everyone go out, get a copy of the book, hang out with Susan. She has some videos coming up where she shares a little bit. You can see her kiln in the videos, right? Or you can see the, where were they shot?
Were they shot in my studio? But you see the close-ups.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thanks for coming.
Okay.